Thanks for joining us. We love getting to share the message of God's grace with the entire world. If His message has impacted your life, would you share your testimony with us by emailing it to stories@graceorlando.com. We love to hear what God is up to. You can also give in support of this ministry by going to our website and clicking on the Give button at graceorlando.com. Thanks again.
Well, good morning. It's never gonna die. Hey, I hope you guys are doing good. Who's having a great week? Woohoo! Awesome, awesome, awesome. Hey, we are going to begin a new series this week that seems kind of like maybe a rerun. It's called We Are Storytellers, and some of you may be thinking, wait, we already did this one. Good news, it's never going to be a rerun. There's going to be a whole lot of new stuff that you're going to really enjoy. In fact, over the next few weeks, you're going to hear from every member of the staff, okay? So as we talk about church life and culture and who we are and all those kinds of things, you're also going to get to hear from people that I love to hear from. You're going to get to hear from Leslie Chambers. Matt's going to preach. It's going to be awesome. Next week, do not miss next week, because you're going to hear from somebody all the way from Peru, okay? They're coming to speak, and I promise you'll be blessed by it. It's going to be amazing. But we're talking about storytellers. Maybe you're newer to the church, and maybe you think to yourself, or maybe you've been here for a while, and you've heard the storyteller thing before, and you're thinking, what is a storyteller? Like, what's that all about? Okay, and so I want to explain that and talk about it a little bit, and how it has to do with culture. You know, when you go to Chick-fil-A, they've got a culture. I love their culture. You know, you walk in there, you feel welcomed, you feel all those things. They actually recently said that part of their culture is for people to feel restored, which I love that. You go to Starbucks, they've got a culture, right? You go to Laser Light Show Church, they have a culture, right? Everybody has a culture, okay? There is a culture to all of this, okay? And so before we even dive into culture, I would like to introduce to you some people that I've never really brought up on the stage and introduced, and that is my own family. So would you help me welcome these guys on up here real quick? Hey, guys. You wouldn't know it, but they're a little nervous. Why don't you guys come stand up here? So if you're new to the church, this is my family, okay? And I'll start with my wife, Brooke. She's usually the one playing piano here. Ruthie did a great job today. But usually Brooke's over there rocking out the keyboards. We met some like 20 years ago or something at this point. I don't know. We're getting old.
16.
Huh?
16.
Yeah, it's been a while. And she's put up with me for a very long time. So I'm very thankful for her. She's incredible. Keeps the family grounded. And speaking of family, we've got Adeline here in the middle. She's my oldest. She's 9. And I've got my twins on the sides here. You guys planned this? We have my 2 7-year-olds. We have Anna Lee, and we have Asher. Would you guys say hello? Would you guys thank these guys for coming up? Thank you guys for coming up. Love you. Okay, he wants me to make sure you know he loves soccer, okay? He's going to be a preacher someday, I can tell. I love it, I love it, I love it. Well, I wanted to introduce my family to you because I want you to get to know us a little bit and who we are. And if you see them running around the church, maybe you could just help me out. It takes a village, if you know what I mean. There's some other stuff there. But I want you to get to know the church. I want you to get to know what we're up to, the culture that we're cultivating here. You got to hear a little bit of that during worship today. I absolutely love this story of people confusing us with, oh, you're so nice, you must go to this church, you know. That's an awesome thing to have someone say, and I love that. Over the past few years, we've seen there's been just such an awesome culture developing here that's always been here, but it's been more pronounced. And I want to highlight those things a little bit because it's really something to be proud of. Let me start with this. A church that does meaningful ministry together will always have the greatest stories, okay? You want stories to tell. All of us want stories to tell. Someday we're all going to be old enough to sit around and make people listen to our stories, okay? And that's going to be awesome. And you want to have the good ones. And the best ones don't come from just going to Starbucks and hanging out. The best ones come when you see God do something phenomenal through your life. And that is sort of one of the goals of this series, is for you to explore. Where does God have meaningful ministry for you to explore? It's not just meant for me and a few others. It's meant for all of us. We're all called to this thing called ministry, and we're going to take a look at that in just a few minutes. But before we get to that, as I said, I want you to kind of meet some of the staff. You may wonder, well, who's on staff there? What do they do? And who do I go to if I need certain things? And I want to introduce two people this morning. We didn't really plan it this way, but they're two moms of my team that I love. We've got first my mother-in-law, Adrienne, which if you guys want to come on up to the stage, make this a little easier. Adrienne, would you all help me welcome Adrienne to the stage, and Kim Niquette as well. Both of these people are incredible, and it's amazing that both my wife's mom, right, Brooke's mom, and Gabby's mom, both are on my team. We didn't plan it this way, but we really love having both of them. I should probably get you a microphone. That would be helpful. Let's see. How about this one? I've asked each of them just to share a little something so you can kind of get to know them, and Adrienne's going to share a little bit of her story about how grace changed her life. Number six.
Javen knows me pretty well, and when it comes to Bibles, I'm the amplified version, so I'll try to keep my story straight, but this is really a story about my journey to grace, and not the church, but the gospel of grace. So I was saved at 8 years old. I remember walking down the aisle of a little Baptist church in Orlando, and I knew that there was a tug on me. I can't explain it. I was sitting at the end of an aisle, and I was swinging back and forth and back and forth, and I could feel this pull, but I'd always swing back because I was afraid nobody was walking down the aisle, but I swung out one time and let go and gave my life to the Lord, and the pastor shook my hand and gave me a card and told me, welcome to the membership of the church, and that was it. We really didn't go to church, and so that was at 8, and then at the age of 12, my dad had left our home for the last time. He had left numerous times when I was a little girl, and I never knew what made him leave or why he came back, but he did. And the night before he left the last time, we had had a dinner. Obviously, I look back now and think my mom must have known. And she had cooked all day. Me and my brothers had cleaned. We had done everything. And my dad sat down and had dinner. And at the end, my mom asked how he liked the meal. He loved it. But he talked about his fork being dirty. And that was my job. I was the one that did the dishes. And so, and when he left and he didn't come back, you can only imagine how that impacted my life. So, but what that did was set me up to be a performance-based Christian. And I mean, if you want to look up legalism and performance-based, that was me. You will see my name and my picture. And so for years I lived that. I was involved in a church through youth. We had a great youth group at the Rock House, and it was wonderful. But I was not only saved at 8, but I was saved numerous times, just over and over and over again, because if you mess up, we were taught that we would grieve the Holy Spirit, and maybe some of you would hear that. And so if we grieve the Holy Spirit, there was no way he could stay. So when God is talked about as our Father, I could believe this gospel because God was no different than my dad. And that was that as long as I was doing the right thing, I felt like dad would stay. And as long as I was doing the right thing, the Holy Spirit would stay. But the minute I messed up, my dad left, and so did God. And that's how I lived for years and years. And now I'm married, and I have two children. I'm trying to be the perfect wife, perfect mother. And the problem with it is, and you may have heard some churches, I'd always heard that if you can release your wallet to God, then he had your heart. Giving was not an issue for Lamar and I. But what I could not release was my children. And I used to tell the Lord that I will not release them because you can't be trusted. And I knew that as their mother, I would tell God, you are a heavenly father. And I don't know what it's like to be a father, but I know what it's like to be a mother. And nothing could separate my love from them. But I couldn't understand how God was like that. And so I told the Lord, I told him, you can have me, but you can't have my children. So in the years of raising them, I really raised two children that became perfectionists, which is the worst thing I could have done,
but they had to be. Because if they weren't perfect, I knew that God would not be there. So I went to work in the church. Every ministry, and you know, Lamar used to tell me, he's like, Adrian, you're doing too much. And it's like, no, I've just got to do this because I was performing. I mean, I really should have sold tickets for my performance because that's what I was doing for a living. I was performing and I was on the prayer team and we would war and we in the women's ministry and Bible studies and I went to retreats. I did everything. And I can tell you that I was exhausted as a Christian. And one of the last ministries, they had a need for the worship, not the worship team, but the choir. And I told Lamar, and I said, you know what? They need choir members. I think I'm going to join the choir. And he goes, no, I don't, Adrian, you're too busy, and I don't think you really need to join the choir. And I was like, I can join the choir. But I didn't, based on his advice. And I realized what he meant. A few years later, I went to a friend's funeral of one of our friends. Dad had died and was sitting next to a lady that I'd known for years. And when it was over, we hugged each other. It was so good to see you. And she says to me, Adrian, I am so glad you got to sit with me. And I said, oh my gosh, Joyce, I'm so glad I got to sit with you too. And she said, finally, somebody sat next to me that sings as bad as I do. And it's like, oh gosh. So then I knew I wasn't supposed to join the choir. But anyhow, yeah. So just life went on. I'm working in the church. I'm spending my life on my knees for my children so that they would just be perfect, so that God would love them and wouldn't leave them. So I am literally interceding on their behalf. I had a friend that told me, she said, Adrian, if you think of God, he's like a big umbrella. And you just think about holding that over your children. As long as your children stay under this umbrella, they're safe. But the minute they step out, they're fair game to the enemy. And it's like, this can't happen. So I never really was at peace about my children. I love them, but I lived in a fear that something would happen to them if they got out from under that umbrella. So I was working. I was performing for God and performing on behalf of my children. So Brooke and Javen start coming to Grace Church. They'd been, married just a short period of time. And they would start talking about Grace. I'm thinking, I don't like the sound of this. Something's not right. And Brooke said to me, she goes, Mom, just read the book. Here's this book. I want you to read it. So I thought, okay. So Lamar, I think, was playing softball one Saturday. I got the book. It was a beautiful day. I sat on our back porch, and I started reading. So any of you who had not experienced the Grace message can only imagine picking up Pure Grace and reading the first chapter. And I shut that book, and it's like, oh, my God, what has Javen done to my daughter? He has taken her away, and this is heresy. I mean, I'm saying this. So, of course, I'm thinking, all right, God, what am I supposed to do? How can I say this the right way to get them out of this? And I felt the Lord say, Adrian, keep reading. Just keep reading. So I opened the book back up, and I read that book that afternoon in its entirety. And I cried all the way through because finally the Word became alive to me. And it's like what I had read before, that when the Bible would say, what could separate us from the love of God? Well, I knew mess up, and you were going to be separated from the Lord. Don't give, you're going to be cursed. So all these things that I was taught, and I couldn't understand it. It's like you say you won't leave, but you do leave. The minute I mess up or screw up, you're going to leave. So reading that book and understanding the finished work of Christ, the difference was that what Grace really taught me was it's about Him. But I had lived a life that was about me. It was always about me. my children, it was about me. When I was praying for them, I was trying to stay safe. I was trying to make sure that I lived the right kind of life. Instead of focusing myself on God, I focused it on me. And just to step back about my dad, when he left that last time when I was 12, we were really estranged for years. Until after I had kids and my mom reached out and she said, Adrian, she says, you know, you need to start inviting your dad and his wife to Christmas. Like, no way. And I thought, and it wasn't even just for me, but it's like, why would I do that to my mom? Which that was such a hurtful time for her. But she said, Adrian, this isn't about me and it's not about your dad. It's about you. And so I learned all about forgiveness, and I began to do that. So God started really a process and got me ready to receive the message of grace. And this weird thing is, one time in church, there was an evangelist that came in, and he stands up to the pulpit, and on his way up, he looks at me, and he says, when he points down, he goes, I saw you. I'm thinking, I've never seen this man before in my life. And he said, as I was flying into Orlando, I saw your face. And he asked me what my name was, and I told him. And he said, Adrian, he said, I saw you almost like a jail cell. But he said, I want you to understand something. In that jail, the door was wide open. Why don't you get out? You're free. But all of those things began to lead up to the day when I understood grace. And so my dad, years had passed. My dad had, his wife, he had had a, my dad had had a stroke. She just couldn't handle him, so she put him in an assisted living. My dad's been gone a year and a half. So 4 years prior to that, he stepped back into my life almost full time. But God had me ready because he was really abandoned. And I knew what it was like to be abandoned. And I had understood what grace began to do. I had been forgiven so much. And Christ forgave me, and it wasn't about me, so I could forgive my dad for the things that had happened in our past. And so 4 years were a healing process with my dad. And I used to fear as a kid that my dad would die, and who would stand up and say something good about him. And I used to tell the Lord, don't let him go until that day comes. And he didn't. So 4 years I had with my dad, and a year and a half ago, he passed away, and I was at his side when he died. And I told my dad, as he lay dying, I said, Dad, I love you. And he couldn't speak, and I said, and I know you love me too, and nothing separates us. There is nothing between us any longer. I love you unconditionally. And so grace, that's grace. Because what I had come from and what God had brought me through, it was an amazing thing that restored my relationship with my dad. But for the first time in my life, when I understood the message of grace, I let go of my children. And for the first time in my life, when I went to bed that night, I understood when the Bible talks about a peace that passes all understanding. And I had never known peace because I was exhausted from performing. And I don't perform anymore, so I don't have to worry about tickets. But I will tell you that I volunteer, and I'm in different ministries. It's a volunteer part of what I do, but I do it because I want to and not because I'm proving anything. So I'm thankful for the message of grace.
Wow, that was awesome, Adrian. Thank you. If you want to know how theology matters, there's a perfect example. That is an incredible story. Thank you, Adrian. She handles all of the finances. She handles all of the monies that come in, all the things you give, and all that kind of stuff goes through her. If you ever have any questions about that, feel free to go speak to Adrian about it. Just so you know, something that I think is important when it comes to that title, that person, is somebody you can trust. Adrian, as you just heard, has had a history with the church, and part of that history, unfortunately, had to do with some corruption and things, people touching money they shouldn't have and all of that. And so I'm so thankful to have somebody on our team that absolutely respects every single penny that's given, knowing that it's God's money. It's what he's up to. And so I love having her on our team, and she's been a wonderful blessing. Speaking of wonderful blessings, Kim Niket recently joined the team. and has, in short order, brought us, I don't even know how to describe all of the ways you've helped us, but, well, okay, you've, let me put it to you this way. Gabby Niquette, if you see her, that's our worship leader here on the front. She has a lot on her plate, and Kim came alongside of really Gabby to kind of take some of that load off of her, and it's been just a tremendous blessing. And I've asked her to share a testimony. She's been on kind of both sides of storytelling, so tell us all about it.
Okay, well, we've known Clark and Martha 20 years. We go way back to the Calvary days with them, and I remember when Clark and Martha met with us at Alan and Leslie's house to talk about his ideas for starting this church, and we were all in, on board. We've been invested in this church for a long time. Our family is invested here. And I've been sitting over there for 13 years, my same little spot. I'm really happy over there. I'd come on Sundays, and it's great worship and soaking in this message of grace that, you know, so many times we would go out to lunch afterwards and go, okay, let's just break this down. Like, we need to really talk about this. Haven't heard this before. This is amazing. It's right because you can just feel it in your soul, you know, that this is right. And I was good. And then I had an encounter with a lady. We were talking out there, and I said, oh, are you new here? And she said, nope. Been coming for about 5 years now. And I'm like, oh gosh, that's awkward. I probably should venture my way out of my little spot over to these places. And so sometime after that, I got asked to head up the connection team and the cafe team. And I thought, perfect. I'm good at administrative stuff. I can get a team. I can schedule people. I can get supplies ready for Sunday morning. Got it. And in very short order, I realized how narrow-minded that view was. Because once I got out of here and went out there, everything changed. I knew a lot of people. I got to know those people better. There are people that I had seen. Now I'm getting faces with names. I got to help welcome new people. And let me tell you, y'all are an awesome bunch of people. I have gotten to hear about the great things in your life. Somebody's pregnant, somebody's child is graduating. I've gotten to hear the not so great things. Somebody didn't get the diagnosis they wanted when they went to the doctor, or somebody's lost a loved one. But it's all this connecting and bonding us together. We say church family, but don't let that be cliche. When you get out there and you're talking and communicating with people and sharing stories, it does become like a family, and it's awesome. So I just want to encourage you, if you don't feel like you have found your place yet or want to meet some more of this awesome family, come talk to me about cafe, about connection. The message is simple. We really just want people to walk through the doors and see smiling faces to let you know we are glad you're here. You have a place here. We want you to be here with us. It's really not more complicated than that. So you grab a muffin, you get some coffee, you get a bulletin, and you just talk and share. I also am the point person for the communion team and the Panera team and the family care team, so if you're interested in that, you can come talk to me as well. And can I just do a little commercial plug? If you have kids who are middle school and high school age, send them to Static and get them to camp in the summer. I got to be a part of that this summer for the first time. Camp has changed my life. And let me tell you, I don't get up here and do this public speaking thing. That is never, ever. I'm the only Nikhead who has zero musical talent. So I am never up here. And I saw these kids going hard at worship and getting up in front of people and being vulnerable and sharing what God was doing in their lives at camp. I'm still riding that high, and that gave me the courage to stand up here and share with y'all how excited I am about you, about our teams, about our church family. So come see me out there if you're interested.
It's awesome. Thank you, Jen. You know, on the one hand, you have how grace changes all of us. It totally changes our stories, in fact. And I love that the outflow of that produced is grace coming out of your life and getting to see all that comes with that. And that is the culture of this church. And I love and I'm so proud to be a part of this. A few quick words, okay? God, some years ago, gave me these four words for me personally. He said, here, Javen, this is a great filter, if you will. I've been praying about some things, and God had given me a great filter to sort of see the things that you just heard. How is the outflow of your life? And these four things were this: giving, generous, gracious, and growing. They were all G's because we're Grace Church, you know. It should be a G, right? And so God gave me these four G's, you know. And then he said, look, these aren't just great filters for your own life, but you can see these filters work amongst the community and the culture of the church. And let me give you these things. These are the things that you can absolutely live your life through these things, and they're backed up all throughout Scripture. Number one, that you'd be gracious. Gracious. That's what we want to be here as a church, gracious, right? Well, that makes sense because the name of the church is Grace Church, right? Well, maybe, okay, because you can have a title like Grace Church and not be very gracious, okay? Because this word gets lost in our culture's understanding of it, right? Grace commonly means giving somebody grace, like I'm going to give you a little bit of room you don't deserve, but okay, you forgot to pay your bills, I'll give you a grace period. We know it as that, as sort of a mercy, but that's not actually what that word means in Scripture. What it really means in Scripture is being for people. God is for every single one of us, right? And so we as a people, we get to be for people. Sometimes that's easy, and sometimes that takes the Spirit's help, right? But we can be a gracious people. You can be a gracious person. In the middle of a situation where you're at work, in the middle of any situation that causes you grief or pain or trouble, you can actually be gracious. And I'm going to demonstrate that in just a moment. Then you have giving, this outflow of your life. We hear the word giving, and unfortunately in our culture, we hear money. Like, that's always the two connected words. But I don't mean just money. Yeah, absolutely, our finances, it's important to give as well. But I mean just the resources of your life. How are you giving, right? You're made to give. This is a part of who we are. It's what we see God do, right? He gave us Jesus. He didn't spare anything, the Bible says, but he gave us all. Freely we've been given, so freely we can give. You know, your resources, the resources that you and I are to be sustained by, aren't printed on paper. Did you know that? I know we're taught that, right? You got to have that dollar bill. But God says, my resources are so far beyond this. I'll tell you what, try to outgive me and watch what I do. It's what God says, right? Because God knows he doesn't need your money, right? God can do all kinds of things and provide for you in ways that you can't even imagine. You cannot outgive God. Then you have this concept of being generous, right? Which means going even beyond what is fair or reasonable, right? In our culture, it's, you know, even Stephen is sort of the idea. And God says, well, actually, no, what's more fun is if you go above and beyond what's even and fair and all of that and go to the point of being generous. Now, let me give you a story about somebody who was very, very generous. A member of our worship team not that long ago offered to drive somebody home after church. Now, you need to understand, this was a holiday, like a Mother's Day, okay? It was a special occasion. People have their lunch plans. You've got things you've got going on. And I want to brag on us for just a moment and what God's doing. This person came to the front door, and they had a bicycle. They lived all the way downtown. And they said, hey, I need a ride home. Can anybody give me a ride home, okay? And that is not easy when you have plans and you have things and you've got things going on. And this person on the worship team said, yeah, I'll drive you home, way out of my way, but I'll do it. You know, have a bicycle? Great, let's throw that in my car somehow, you know. And this person drove them all the way to their house. They texted me and said, hey, God is good. They got there okay and all that. That is generosity. That's what we are. That's who we are as Christians, as believers. Not just Grace Church members, but it's who we all are. You have that opportunity every day to be generous, and it warmed my heart to hear that. Then this last word, growing. Pastor Clark, our founding pastor, said this to me one time, and I thought it was genius as it was simple. And he simply said, healthy things grow. as a church, we're not trying to grow in numbers and that kind of stuff as much as we are trying to be healthy, right? Promoting health. All that you're hearing in this series, by the way, the whole purpose of it is not information. It's health. It's bringing health to us, revealing how healthy things are. And I love to see what God is doing. You know, I have this thought about growth. Of course, it means internal, growing in love, growing in all of the different ways that we can grow spiritually. But when I think about the fact that in this room contains a group of people that I will get to know, that I will get to see, but there are billions that I will never meet. I'll never get to see. I'll never get to experience their quirks. I love quirks, okay? I would never get to experience their personalities. In fact, you never got to meet my grandfather, and he's awesome, and someday I hope you get to meet him in heaven. But the point is that there are billions of people we'll never get to meet, and yet God knew specifically that we'd all get to know each other, that God knew that this group right here, Grace Church, right, for such a time as this, it's us. And we get to know each other, and I can't tell you how much I love that opportunity. And it's going to take me some time, by the way. If you're sitting here saying, "Well, I've never met you," come meet me, okay? Because it's a lot on a Sunday. But I really enjoy us doing this thing together, right? It's not about a ministry team as much as it is about a church engaged in meaningful ministry together. It's exciting and it's fun, and we're going to grow because of that. So here's what I want to kind of leave you. I've got a few minutes here, if you'll hang with me, and to kind of give you some thoughts as we get into this series. And that is this, is that you are called, okay? This word calling, I know, it's got a lot attached to it. And we're going to explore this, especially towards the end of this series, about what it means to be called. But did you know that you're called? Now, maybe it's not to the fivefold ministry. Maybe you're not called to be, like, you know, Kim was just sharing that getting on a stage and doing this is not her thing. She's probably not wanting to be a pastor, okay, or a teacher or evangelist or those kinds of things. But we're not all called to necessarily those five things, but every single person in this room is called to ministry. In fact, it's funny the way we even word that. It's sort of a natural thing that happens through your life as we walk with God. We're a kingdom of priests. Paul was coming into a town, and he said it this way. He says, listen, he's writing the Corinthians, and he says, hey, guys, when I get there, if you guys can please make sure to have the money ready, that would be great. Did you know Paul said that? Yeah, he wrote that in the 2 Corinthians where he's saying, listen, I got a project that we're doing for God, and you guys have been very generous and very gracious and all these things. However, I need to make sure you guys have the gift ready because when I get there, if the gift wasn't ready, he said, it'd be really embarrassing. You know, you pass the bucket around and there's nothing in it. That's going to be a little embarrassing, okay? And it was interesting because what Paul draws, he draws the focus in onto a few things today that I'd like to show you. I want to give you just quickly the secret to success. Would you love the secret to success? Okay, you can tell I'm laughing a little bit here about that, but it is a secret to success. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 9 says this, now I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Wow, that is a very simple statement, okay? If you put four seeds in the ground, you shouldn't expect an entire crop of like thousands. Like, that's not how it works. Like, this is a very simple idea. Each one must do as he has purposed in his heart, not begrudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving to God. And this is going to be an important thing to think about. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Okay. Thanksgiving is what lifts us up. Thanksgiving is what brings you out of a pit of despair, if you will, okay? If you're in a place where life is rough, it's actually Thanksgiving that lifts us up. And I know what you're thinking, well, how do I do that? How do I be thankful when I maybe don't feel that way at all? Well, the Bible says that as Jesus is, so are we in this world. That he encountered things just like you and I do, And he walked through them in a certain way. So I want to look at Jesus' life for a second, because maybe what your understanding of that is that I thought I was under the impression that if I sowed good seed, if I gave, if I was a storyteller at Grace Church, if I did all these things, that then my life is going to be awesome. And you know what? There is absolutely zero guarantee of that. In fact, it will most likely be the exact opposite of that. So sign up today, okay? No, the point is that's not how it works. right? And this is what Paul's saying. And he says, look, let's just talk about what a bad day looks like. You know, a bad day, what it looks like for me is when the air conditioning breaks. That is a very bad day for me. I don't like the heat. I don't know why I'm in Florida, but here we are, right? But it's a bad day. Maybe a bad day is when your DVR didn't record the show you really wanted. I can't believe it, you know? Well, okay, how about if a bad day was a little more serious and you honestly couldn't pay your bills and you're saying, well, I don't know what to do here. This is a really, really bad day. Or something in your life that is changing that you didn't know was going to change and all of a sudden your whole life has been turned upside down. All right, well, here's some perspective for all of us this morning is that you can still, in every single one of these moments, be gracious and generous and giving, and you can grow even in the middle of all of those things because Jesus showed us that it's possible, and as he is, so are we in this world. Do you remember? It is him who suffered. And let's take a look, Hebrews 13. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Here he was suffering on a cross, doing what? Being gracious, being for us, being giving, right? Being generous beyond what we can possibly imagine. And sometimes in a series like this, and you'll hear this over the next few weeks, as we talk about these things, maybe you're in a season of your life where you're saying, you know what? Hearing these words actually offends me. I don't feel like that's where I'm at all. And can I encourage you, if that's the way you feel, knowing that this is the way Jesus is and you are in him, man, sit with him and listen to him. Sit with him and hear all that he has for you. So let us go outside, they say, outside the camp. We're getting closer to the secret of success, right? Bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we're seeking the city which is to come. Now here's these important words. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. I mean, listen, we sing songs, okay? We talk amongst ourselves and encourage each other and pray for each other and all of those things. But did you catch what he just said? He said that actually thanksgiving not only causes you, right, to see what God is doing, but it does something else. In the middle of your storm, when you're saying, okay, my day is going horrible, but Lord, thank you, right? Thank you for blah, 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 blah. You could rattle off 6 million things if you like. There's plenty to be thankful for. There actually is a fruit of that, which is praise. And praise is powerful. Do not neglect in doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Now, this might not be the way that it feels. In fact, living and walking with God is often not as intuitive as this world, right? We have to depend on him and his spirit. And quickly, I want to give you just these two last verses. Look at what Proverbs says. There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more, and there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. This is a total backwards thing in our world, right? Imagine, if you will, what he just said. He says, look, the generous man will be prosperous. Did you know that you have a guarantee that the more generous you are, as I said before, you can't outgive God. The more generous you are is an absolute guarantee you'll be prosperous. Now, I don't know what your definition of prosperous is, but I guarantee you, you will be prosperous. And he says this, he who waters will himself be watered. Can I tell you, that's like watering a plant and it waters you. Okay, I don't know what you picture in that, but those of you who actually are good with plants, okay, I'm not. I envision like the clown spraying me back with the flower, but you guys understand that there's more than that, right? That there actually is this, I don't know, I've talked to like people like my mom who sit there in the garden and meticulously care for these plants. She waters them and cares for them, and what happens is she gets fed from them. She gets blessed by them. And I love this analogy that we see in Proverbs, this poetry, if you will, of watering, to be watered as well. And this is exactly what God demonstrated, right? He didn't hold anything back. Why? Because he wanted everything back. That's why he gave all. That's who he is. So let me ask you a question as we wrap this up this morning. What is the thing inside of your heart that's just like, man, I want to do this so bad? Maybe it's ministry-based. Maybe it's just something simple like, man, I really want to go buy somebody a car, okay? That sounds crazy, right, and huge. But yet maybe you have something inside of you that's just this desire of your heart. Can I encourage you to first think about all the reasons why you shouldn't do it? Think of all the reasons why you can't do it, okay? and then go to God and do what he says. There's going to be so many times, there's been so many, like just as one example, I'll never forget God laying it on my heart to give somebody $100. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't generally keep $100 in my wallet or have that readily available. And in this moment, though, God said, I was like a 20-year-old, and he said, give $100. And I'm like, okay. And it was scary, right? I'm thinking at first, if I'm just thinking in my own strength, $100. I thought of all the reasons why I shouldn't do that. I thought about my mom saying, why did you give $100? You know, you think about all the things, you know. And I did it anyway. And can I tell you the blessing I felt? I never missed that money even for one second because of what came into my life, what I experienced, if you will, through giving, through being who I was called to be. And that is the kind of life that you and I have. And it leads us to this great secret. What is the secret to all of this? Philippians 4. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul had everything. I mean, he could have stayed in Rome, and he could have stayed a Pharisee. He could have stayed in any of these chapters of his life where he had great success, you know? All the food he could imagine, stomach was filled, life was good. And that's what you and I in America would say, oh, you're blessed by God. You know, wow, look at what God is doing, how awesome. And Paul says, I'm going to share a secret with you. It has nothing to do with that. In fact, I've had seasons where I had no food in my stomach. I lost it all. In fact, nobody cared about anything I had to say, and they challenged me on everything. And every single day, I was being brought to the point of death. And let me tell you the secret. The secret's simple. It's his strength that sustains us. In both seasons, in every season, I know the secret. And see, we ask these questions like, God, how can a good God allow me to go through this? How could this happen? God, could I just catch a break? You know, sometimes we feel that way. And the good news is this. Your strength doesn't come from within. Your strength comes from him. That is where your strength comes from. So I don't know what you're relying on. In this story that we're painting here as a church, we're not doing this by any amount of skill on our parts, okay? We're just simply saying, Lord, you be strong in us, and we'll walk. And that sounds like fun to me. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and we're going to close. Here's what I want you to do today. As we start a series, we're going to explore what's inside of your heart. I want you to ask God this question during this song. Maybe you don't sing a word of this next song. Maybe you just, as we close, ask God a question. God, how do you see me? Start with that. God, how do you see me? And then whatever dreams you felt God has placed in your heart, ask him about it. Lord, what is this? What do you have for me in this? What are you doing in this? Maybe you already feel like, oh, Javen, I already know what the path of my life is. I already got my dreams lined up. God's already got my... Well, you know what? It changes. You know, I'll end with a story. When I was 19 and I got saved, I was so excited to be in love with Jesus, and he had changed my life. And much like him, I didn't really know where my footing was necessarily, as much as I was just excited. And I asked all my friends who were going off to college. Every one of them were going to Southeastern, you know, the Bible college. They're all going to Bible college. And I was going to, you know, Seminole State, you know what I mean? We're awesome. I don't care what you say. And so it was SCC back then. Anyway, they were all going off to college, and they said to me, I said, what are you going to college for? What are you going for? Oh, I'm going to be a pastor. I said, oh, man, that's awesome. You're going to be a pastor. Okay. What are you going to be? Pastor. Oh, neat. What are you going to be? A pastor. What are you going to be? A pastor? And so they looked at me, and they said, Javen, why aren't you coming, man? You should come. And what are you called to, they said. And I said, the congregation. I said, none of y'all have anyone attending church. I'm like, you guys are all going to be pastors. I'm like, I'll just be in the congregation and support you guys, you know? And here we are. So I don't know what you think God has outlined for your life or what he's laid in front of you, but let me be the example of, you may not have any idea, and if you just walk with him and explore these desires he's placed in your heart, I've really just tried to do whatever God put in front of me. Like, Lord, this is what we're doing. Okay, let's go. Whatever strength you give me is what I'm going to rely on. So I give you that as an encouragement as we go into this series. Man, start praying. Go home, pray during this song. Pray. Engage God in this. Lord, what's inside? What have you placed there? And what blessing do you have for me? Lord, we love you so much. And God, I'm so proud to be a part of a church like Grace Church. Lord, I'm so proud to be a part of a community that is demonstrating being gracious, giving and growing and being generous. God, I know we've got some rough edges as all churches do. But Lord, I pray that we would continue to grow in how we love the community outside these walls. And that you would start that work in our own lives here today. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me for just a moment?